Well, good afternoon, brethren. And to all the people watching over the internet, we welcome you and tell you we're glad that you're viewing this. As Mr. Snyder says, it's a very sunny day today, but it's a very windy day. And I just want to assure everyone that from up here, everyone's hair looks just great. Brethren, this is my third message with the theme related to rewards. In my first message on November 13, 2021, we discussed from the Bible three benefits of being a doer of the word. The first benefit was we will become a new creation daily, monthly, and yearly. The second benefit was we can maximize our earthly rewards. And the third benefit was we can maximize our rewards we will receive when Christ returns. In addition, we reviewed from the Bible God's incentive program, which gives each of us the opportunity and control of the quantity of earthly rewards we receive in this world and the eternal rewards to be given to us when Christ returns. If you remember the call to action in my first message on November 13th was, let's maximize our rewards in this world and our rewards when our Lord returns by being a smarter and better doer of the word. Now, in my second message about rewards on January 8th, 2022, we reviewed different barriers Satan will use to prevent God's people from maximizing God's earthly and eternal rewards. Satan puts barriers in our walk with God to get us to stumble and distract us from working for God's rewards. In my second message about rewards, we reviewed many barriers Satan uses to trick God's people into slowing down or giving up, maximizing the rewards God's incentive plan allows us to receive. One way was to trick God's people into doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. A second way was to trick God's people into doing the wrong thing for the right reason. And a third way was to trick God's people into thinking like the people in the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. Brethren, the people in the Laodicean church were not overly sinful people. Unfortunately, they were like Christians today who have been tricked into a false sense of security. The problem with the people in the Laodicean church was not that the world had influenced the people. The problem was the people in the Laodicean church did not try to spread God's truth to people not in their church. The Adam Clark commentary said, the people in the Laodicean church felt little zeal for the salvation of the souls of others. Let me repeat. The Adam Clark commentary said, the people in the Laodicean church felt little zeal for the salvation of the souls of others. Instead, they were content living a Christian lifestyle that was convenient rather than be God's fellow workers. As we begin examining ourselves for Passover, we are asked to pick up a mirror and look at ourselves as God would look at us. Does God see a heart that truly loves and cares about him? Does God see someone who is trying to be God's fellow worker? Or does God see someone who is complacent, apathetic, and who is just trying to get by? Someone who sees himself as okay. Brethren, as we prepare for Passover, let us review the behaviors that earns us God's rewards, so that we can replace our bad behaviors with good behaviors, which will result in receiving God's rewards in this world and in the world tomorrow. The title of this message is, What Behavior Earns Us God's Rewards? What behavior earns us God's rewards? In my second message on January 8th about rewards, we started to review behaviors that earn us rewards. The first behavior was to plant and water seeds. This behavior is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. These scriptures by Paul are one of the most revealing scriptures on rewards. I'll start reading at verse 8. Paul said, Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. In one sentence, Paul describes our role as God's fellow workers when he said, I planted, Paul, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Brethren, as God's fellow workers, it is our responsibility to plant and water spiritual seeds. As we examine ourselves for Passover, let us ask ourselves, how much time do we spend each week planting and watering spiritual seeds? Now let us move to the second behavior that earns us rewards. The second behavior is to obey God's laws and teach them to others. This behavior is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Christ is talking to his disciples during the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says in verse 19, Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Today I want to focus on the words of Jesus when he said, but whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In the New Living Translation Bible, the words of Jesus are translated, but anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you obey God's laws and teach them, those people will be called great. I could be wrong, brethren, but if a person wants to be called great in the kingdom of heaven, a person must not only obey God's laws, they must also teach God's laws to other people. Each person called by God has talents, and each person must use their talents to the best of their ability to obey God's laws and to teach God's laws to other people until the end. Brethren, I have two questions we need to ask ourselves as we begin preparing for Passover. The first is, how much time do we spend each week trying to teach or introduce other people to God's laws and God's way of life? The second question is, what activities do we do each week that would convince God that we are trying to teach or introduce other people to God's laws and God's way of life? Now, brethren, let's review the third behavior. The third behavior that earns us a reward is to patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage people with good teachings. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation Bible. It makes it very clear what Paul was telling Timothy. In verse 1, Paul says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teachings. According to the Matthew Henry commentaries, Paul is telling all, both ministers and people, to seriously consider the account that they must give to Jesus Christ. Brethren, you and I are in training in this world to be kings and priests during the millennium. Therefore, we need to start and continue our training in this world if we are to receive our reward when Christ returns. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul describes the reward people will receive who are obedient. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also whose love his appearing. That's us, brethren. As we examine ourselves, let's make sure we are patiently correcting, rebuking, and encouraging people with good teaching so that we can receive a crown of righteousness when our Lord returns. Now let us look at the fourth behavior that earns us God's rewards. The fourth behavior is enduring temptations and trials. The fourth behavior is enduring temptations and trials. Please turn to James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, a Christian who endures under temptations and trials will be blessed, and they will receive the crown of life. Jesus says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." To have the right attitude in trials, and we will be facing trials, one must see the advantage of trials. If a person finds it difficult to see the advantages of a trial, a person can ask for help, and if one asks correctly, God will give them the right attitude in trials. As we prepare for Passover, let us ask ourselves if we have the right attitude today to endure trials and temptations. A person with the right attitude can rejoice in a trial and be blessed by enduring them, and they will be rewarded with the crown of life. Now let's review the fifth behavior that will earn us a reward. The fifth behavior that earns us a reward is personal discipline. Personal discipline. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Paul says to the people in Corinth, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Paul is stressing a need for personal discipline. If we want to receive the reward of an imperishable crown. Now, brethren, I am a simple person. You could ask Gene about that. And I love the way the Message Bible interprets these verses. The Message Bible says it this way. You have all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, but one wins. Therefore, run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally, forever. I don't know about you, but I am running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. Brethren, as we examine ourselves for Passover, it might help if we ask ourselves these four questions. Are we working hard spiritually for a gold crown? Are we giving it everything we got? Are we staying alert and in top spiritual condition? Are we making sure we do not get caught napping and miss out on receiving our eternal crown? Brethren, let's move to the sixth behavior. The sixth behavior that earns us a reward is doing charitable deeds. Charitable deeds. Please turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. When doing charitable deeds for brethren and for non-brethren, it is important that it is a matter between the giver and God. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, our charitable deeds is not a matter between the person giving and others. It's a matter between the person giving and God. The Lord said that in giving, one should not even let his left hand know what his right hand is doing. It should be so secret that the giver easily forgets what he has gave. In this way, the giver demonstrates true righteousness before God and not before people. And God, in turn, will reward the giver. Now let's review the seventh behavior. The seventh behavior that earns us a reward is working with all our heart. Working with all our heart. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV Bible. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. In these verses, Paul makes numerous points about the motives, the attitudes, and the conduct of what our labor should be like. In other words, whatever we're doing, we are to put our whole self into it, knowing that our boss is really God. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, if more Christian employees serve their employers as though they were serving God, quality and productivity would increase dramatically. It is important for us to realize that work is one of God's special creations. Brethren, there was a reason why a loving God put Adam and Eve to work in the garden after they were created. God did this because he knew that work was a blessing. It does not matter if we are working for money or volunteering our service. God knew work would provide people with challenges, excitement, adventure, and fulfillment. God knows that we are created in his image, and we benefit from devoting our time to meaningful and creative work. Whether we are working for money or retired, it is important to continue to labor. I am retired, however, I still volunteer 30 to 40 hours a week, helping the brethren and people in the world. Volunteering my free time helps me get out of self and into others. In addition, volunteering my free time gives me the opportunity to share God's principles and teachings when the opportunity arises. The most important thing people need to remember when working for money or volunteering their free time is this: people need to enjoy all their labor. One of the problems people have in their labor is that they often do not utilize their God-given talents and skills. People settle for something that is not what they really desire to do. They work simply to pay the bills and lose what they really have a passion for. When I was working in the computer industry, I was making good money, but I wasn't being fulfilled in what I was doing. After turning my life over to the care of God, I consulted with career advisors, I took some interest tests, and I slowly changed careers. When I started working at Goodwill Industries, helping people with severe disabilities get jobs, I found joy in all my labor, and I love my work. Brethren, if a person does not enjoy their labor, it could be that they are not where God intends them to be. You see, it doesn't matter if you're in school, working for money, or retired. Our attitude and mindset will impact everything we do. Work was and still is a wonderful blessing. When we look at our labor with the right perspective, it can bring great purpose, feelings of accomplishment, and much joy in our daily living. Brethren, as we examine ourselves for Passover, let us ask ourselves, what is our attitude, conduct, and motives about our work or labor? Brethren, let us close this message with this last thought. Salvation is a gift from God. We all know that. However, the rewards from God are earned by our works. Today, we reviewed 7 behaviors that earn us rewards. Brethren, let us use these 7 behaviors to replace any bad behaviors we might have so that we can maximize our reward in this world and in the world tomorrow, and be prepared when we take the Passover.